1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Well, plenty of discuss, if I can say the word. Albany, the centerpiece and an address from the governor. Many looking on, many responding today. Including this fine assemblyman, his name is Anthony Palumbo, and represents the 2nd District. And always great to have him on the program. And haven't wished him a Happy New Year yet, but we will right now. And we do that in fine fashion. Great to have you, sir.
Good to be here, my friend.
I hope everything was good as the ball dropped and a new year in place. You know, it's interesting. I kind of look at Albany these days. You ever see the movie 300? When you only had about 300 of those soldiers go up against, tens of thousands of the enemy and everything else. And I tell you, the 300 did prevail. I wonder if that's going to be the case these days. I mean, that was a great movie with Gerard Butler. Remember that back? I kind of correlate that to Albany these days. You know, you have a handful of Republicans going up against the Democrats, and it's a tall order. But you know what? Hopefully business as usual and getting it done. That's the case. But interesting mindset, a little different one than you had from about a year ago. No, not the case though this year, correct?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. And you know, the biggest concern, of course, is now that we've got both houses are controlled by the Democratic Party, and it's New York City centric, and the focus is going to be, and what I'm nervous about is that it's going to be all on social justice and, you know, late term abortion. And as the governor said yesterday in his State of the State, he was very focused on, you know, racial reparations and social justice, where I just feel like, you know, what are the primary issues out here in our district and certainly on Long Island is taxes and jobs. And that's something that there were a few good highlights regarding the further phasing in of the middle class tax cut. There were some other good, fairly good, making permanent the 2% tax cap. Those are the smart things. But I hope we don't lose the forest for the trees here, because they're going to be so focused on an agenda that really is just more along social issues than actual economic issues, because New York State is in bad shape and we have people fleeing the state as if it's on fire. And that's of great concern to me. Certainly someone who has as someone who's got a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old who would like to stay on Long Island as they get older.
Many would, but let's face it. Let's call it as it is, Tony. It's tough right now. You got the new tax laws that'll be in play. Very, very tough right now as far as Long Island. It's a whole other concern. But you know what got me yesterday? I stated this prior with Reclaim, the fact the school stuff, it was completely out of whack yesterday from what the governor stated, proposing an increase, $956 million in school aid, and that's really less than half of the 2.1 billion or so increase request by the Board of Regents, and really falling far short of school district needs when you think about it. So that pretty much concerns me in a big way. Also, his desire, Cuomo's desire, to direct funds to the neediest schools, which I can't figure out. You know, the notion that a state formula devised in the Capitol can distribute funds to thousands of individual school buildings more fairly and effectively than the locally elected Board of Education in those communities. That bothers me a lot, too. He's going to disperse and less than what the Board of Regents really wanted here. That really gets me a little bit here.
Yeah, me as well. And, of course, school aid subsidies, which are two-thirds of our tax bills, are huge for those of us that live on Long Island. So that's of great concern to me as well. And micromanaging is awful in this situation. And this is the same thing. This is the overall logic behind Common Core that the governor was such a big fan of, that it's local control that really knows what's best for them, not the ever-smart, most brilliant master of the universe being either a governor or a president, that you know, we don't have total control and micromanaging from the top is never a good idea. And that's what is a significant concern to me as well. And, you know, we've got hundreds of millions of dollars. He's got, you know, another, what I think it was $130 million for the Excelsior Scholarship, which was a bit of a bust. It sounds great on paper. But these are the sort of things that don't really necessarily make sense to me when we're underfunding our schools. We have another $1.2 billion for what the governor was calling strategic programs to make college more affordable. And we're dealing with college and free college and the Dream Act, which is another, I think, $200 or $300 million for illegal immigrants to get scholarships for college. And by the way, people who are illegal and undocumented, if all they need to establish is that they've been here for 6 months, by anything, a lease, by very limited means, and they already get what the federal Dream Act is they get resident tuition. So instead of paying $22,000, $23,000 for a SUNY school, they're paying $6,000 or $7,000 as if they are an actual resident. Meanwhile, they're not even in the country legally. The immigration issue is a federal issue for another day, but we've already given a very significant reduction in tuition to those students. So now and they don't even have a Social Security number to pay taxes with that college degree. But the bottom line is we're spending billions, plural, of dollars on secondary education or on college education when we're not even fulfilling our obligation, which we're constitutionally mandated to do for K through 12. So it just doesn't make sense. Unfortunately, I think this is becoming more of a platform for a presidential run in several months, and that makes me nervous. So we'll see. Look, this is the governor's proposal. Things can change. Our one house bills, as you know, the process is, and I'll just repeat it for the listeners, the process is the governor proposes his budget, and then each house proposes ours, and then where our differences are, we negotiate through the budget process by April 1st. So I'll keep my fingers crossed, and we'll try and get an increase in school aid. Certainly, we're going to push for that in our one house bill in the assembly so that we can make sure that that number goes up. Although these other programs are something that is really a concern to the governor, and he really wants these things to happen, we'll have to see how it works out by way of negotiations, because he's increased in his budget a 25% increase in higher education expenditures since 2012. So that $1.5 billion, I think, is more appropriately spent in our high schools and middle schools.
Tony Palumbo with us, fine assemblyman out of the 2nd District. Didn't give you anything at all regarding the sexual predator issue, which is a big problem here in the state, trying to expand the registry and everything else. I wanted to hear more on that. I didn't get anything on that, Anthony. He touched upon some of these progressive hot-button deals. You know, we talked a little bit about it prior with the DREAM Act. Immigration in general, abortion rights, didn't really delve into anything. You know, I heard more on this nonsensical congestion pricing. I mean, who's kidding who here? This is just, what, 11 on cars, 25 bucks on trucks? I mean, who's kidding who here? This is just another way to stockpile the cash when you have a $4 billion deficit. You can do anything you can. Congestion pricing, really? Cut down on these delivery trucks. Get rid of some of these bike lanes. I mean, it's a mess. Come on. Limit these delivery drivers, for crying out loud. Make them at certain times so that they come into the city. You can't even get around in the city. Who's kidding who? You know, goes on and on and on. Tell me, and talk, legalization of pot, please. You know, I don't want to hear about the $300 million and everything else. Does this man not know of the problem we have here in the state as far as opioids and heroin? Now we're going to legalize marijuana? How are you going to expunge these convictions? Talk to me about that, you know? He didn't give you anything. And he touched upon ethics. But that was at the end of this nonsense of speech. It was ridiculous. He didn't give me anything.
It, it makes you want to jump out the window. That the fact that he can say this with a straight face, that legalizing marijuana, he's more concerned about the revenue and money grab than he is about the safety of society. And you know, I'm a former prosecutor, and I was in narcotics for a short while, and you know, that sort of thing is clearly and overwhelmingly, and then even on the defense side after I left the DA's office, that clients overwhelmingly say that, look, it all started with me smoking pot. And then from that point on, I went on to bigger and better things. And it's different than alcohol, where you've got alcohol can be enjoyed by adults. You don't take three sips and you're drunk. You can enjoy it and drink and not be drunk or even impaired. We get that. With drugs, particularly marijuana, someone who engages in its use, first of all, you can have something the size of that fits in the palm of your hand that can get a group of kids completely high versus having to somehow get their hands on a larger quantity. And this is for the underage users that are using it illegally. But once this is legal, everyone's going to take a few little tokes of their marijuana and then they're completely intoxicated. They'll be stoned to no end. And that is just a mindset that when they, quote, you know, party, that they're going to get completely obliterated. And that was the mindset. And this is coming from addicts, that what they've told me. I mean, this is just not me pontificating about the world, that legalizing and creating more, putting more intoxicants into the atmosphere and making them more readily available is not a good idea. And when we see that, we 2 years ago had the highest overdose rate in the state, in Suffolk County, to just ignore that for the purposes of maybe something that polls well or some sort of a focus group said, you know, everyone wants to legalize marijuana. Other states are doing it, and we're falling behind because we're prudish by not doing this. God forbid. We want to be ahead of everything, and we're about freedoms in every respect, except when it comes to guns, of course. But other than that, we need to be progressive. And this is the new progressive ideal that seems to be moving people toward the left, and Democrats love it. And in order to win that presidential primary, Mr. Cuomo, you certainly need to move way to the left. And this is what I see. And I tell you, Jay, I was about to jump out the window, like as you said, that the fact that he does this says that with a straight face is mind-boggling. And that plus, you know, the new women's agenda, and to comment about the expansion of the sex offender registry, everything. Oh, well, I'm for women's rights, and we're going to combat sexual harassment, and women will have the right to that late term abortion. They can get abortions whenever they want. We're going to make it a constitutional right, as a matter of fact. But what about the women who have to live near and around sex offenders without their knowledge? What about them? And the women that will be raped and otherwise sexually abused by these people. It's just really more sound bites than anything came out of his mouth for the, quote, progressive agenda that he knows in a state as Democrat as New York is. Now it's greater than 2-1, the enrollment of Democrats to Republicans. All you have to do is win the primary and it's over and you go home because you need millions of votes in a statewide election in New York to come from the Democratic Party in order to win. And he knows that's very unlikely. So he's just solidifying his position as governor, knowing that he can't lose as long as he keeps saying these crazy things.
Tony, they're all liars. Anyone who ever says that they're not running for president, quite frankly, they're all liars. I mean, look at Kirsten Gillibrand last night on Stephen Colbert. I'm announcing for 2020. You know, she specifically said, and we, you know what? Give me a little bit of a clip of that, Matt Trey. Give me a little bit of a clip so the assembly can hear this. Go ahead. Give me a little bit of a clip on this debate. Go.
Just want to make this clear. You're saying you will not get out of the race and you will not run for president. You will serve your 6 years.
I will serve my 6th-year term.
See what Gillibrand says? I don't want to hear anything. Listen, when you're not running, you're going to run. And she's setting herself up for 2024. That's a whole nother conversation. Listen, it's all about Andrew Cuomo in 2020. He's going to throw his hat into the ring. We'll see how that goes. I wanted to hear more about people leaving the state. How are you keeping people here? Okay? How are you keeping people here in New York State? That's right. What I wanted. He didn't touch upon anything that was important at all to the resident. I'll tell you one thing. I've said this all along. I mean, Long Island is not even on his radar, especially when it comes to the county of Suffolk. I'm sorry. He could give a damn about Suffolk County. And I got to tell you one thing, another thing. You know what rankled me? When I hear from the county executive, I wanted to throw up. When I read this statement, and I'll read it to you verbatim here. While Washington remains plagued by a shutdown, Governor Cuomo has unveiled the antidote to that dysfunction, really, with the most aggressive agenda that New York has ever seen. Steve Ballone goes on to say, now is the time to advance common sense environmental protections, landmark ethics, where? And campaign finance reform and protect the women's right to choose. He didn't give you anything. We just told you. He passed on delving into these issues of abortion rights, immigration, DREAM Act. You can go on and on and on. He didn't give you anything in substance. And when Ballone's telling me, more importantly, Governor Cuomo understands the challenges of working families in suburban counties all across our state. Yeah, he understands the fact that they're all packing their bags and getting out of here because it's impossible. It's impossible to function here. I mean, could you imagine this?
I love when you get excited, Jay. It's wonderful. And exactly. Well, we obviously Ballone is looking to the stars because he knows what's going to happen. He's looking for to move to higher office. I think he needs to try and get by Legislator Trotta and Comptroller Kennedy next year. We'll see about that. He's kind of counting his chickens. But this sounds like, you know, just fawning over the governor's position. And you know what he's done to keep people on New York? He's actually scared more of the high wage earners away. I don't know if you saw that New York residents now will be the carried interest loophole, he said, he's closing. And the way it works with hedge funds, the short version is hedge fund owners and managers take a piece of the equity. So they'll have shares, so to speak. Then there'll be an increase, and they'll take their fee by way of the stock, in that example. And it becomes a long-term capital gain. So they're paying only up to 20% tax on it. They're not paying income tax. So they basically take their own money, and they buy some of the or they're given some of the shares that would ultimately act as their income source, and it's a way that they've been able to avoid paying income taxes. And these are high-wage earners. These are super wealthy people. And by the way, I believe it's 5%, the top 5% of New Yorkers pay something like 90% of our income taxes. So, you know, you scare those people off, it's a huge loss of revenue. We need them to live in New York and not move over to Hoboken or wherever they're going to move or to Greenwich, Connecticut. And be in another state. But he's imposed not only an increased tax, but a, quote, fairness fee, as he calls it, to avoid the fact that they cannot pay those federal taxes because it's a carried interest or it's a capital gain tax. So this is another way now we're going to scare off more high-wage earners who actually contribute a lot more than your average Joe. And then all these other spending programs, one after the other, not supporting our schools the way we should, and all these other gimmick programs that we're going to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on, that is not going to keep people in New York, to answer your question. It's really shocking. And Steve Ballone, I mean, I don't think he's the guy that should be talking about the amazing fiscal ideas that Governor Cuomo has, because he's already had our bond rating, what has it been, reduced twice now? It's awful. In New York State,
it's actually down
his checkbook, and now he's talking about dealing with something statewide. Come on,
five times, Tony. Five times that bond rating dipped under his watch. I'm sorry, you know, when you have amassed in this county nearly $900 million in debt, you know, and you're raising the mortgage fees, you're raising the park fees, alarms. I mean, how much more fees on top of the other fees? Or as Rob Trotta says, taxes. I mean, how much more can the residents of this county possibly take? It's impossible to live here. and function.
They can't.
You can't do it.
Yeah, in 10 years, it'll just be unmanageable, completely unmanageable, unless there are some massive changes. And, you know, the one thing you can say about, you know, many people have very significant concerns with Donald Trump and everything that he does, but he's trying it differently, boy. He's really raising all heck because he's not doing it the way. It's not the status quo, that's for sure. And I think that's why people voted him into office, because they're sick of the politicians playing the shell game, doing what they can do until their terms are up, and then they just move on. And we're left holding the bag. This is really of great concern to us and to me. And, you know, we'll see where the ultimate budget lands. But I think the governor is absolutely dead set on the fact that he's got to have these progressive things. And more importantly, I think I may have mentioned this to you previously, the pay raise, which, by the way, there's a lawsuit pending, and myself and a few other members are contemplating joining that lawsuit or even suing ourselves just to completely wipe out the pay raise. But this commission made none of it binding on the governor, but made the budget subject to the raises subject to an on-time budget. And then the governor came out and said, in the interest of, or in the spirit of FDR, my first 100 days, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, knowing that the budget was only about 97 days away. So he can hold the raise hostage by way of the budget, forcing the Democratic majorities in both houses, who are desperate for a raise because really none of them have outside jobs, or very few of them have outside jobs. They really want the raise. He can hold it hostage and force them to vote for things that they're not really thrilled about, because he needs to get them done. And then he can come in and say, you know what, it's been overwhelming, the support. For the good of the people, I'm going to have to run for president. I can't not do it. It's just because it has to be done. Donald Trump had both houses and the executive branch for 2 years and couldn't repeal and replace Obamacare. And he wasn't able to build his wall. In 100 days, look what I accomplished. I'm wonderful. And then the fun will begin.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's
even though he said, by the way, that he wouldn't run. You know, that happens a lot in the Democratic Party. It happened with the district attorney's race, right?
No, listen, that's why he is a member of the Hypocrisy Hall of Fame. And quite frankly, a very bleak picture. Hopefully it gets better. Hopefully it gets a lot better as we get on with this year, but certainly a chock full plate of absolutely emptiness yesterday coming from Andrew Cuomo. Always a pleasure, sir. We will follow your trek, and we can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes this morning. How's that?
Thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you, Jay, as always.